Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Iren, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
Amen and amen. Please be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to commend your patience. It does take time to encounter God. I hope you know. So amongst the many things you would rather use your holiday for, I want to assure you that this is worth your while. Amen, somebody. So are you ready for the afternoon session? So I'm going to walk through this as fast as I can, and then we will be done. Essentially, what I'm teaching on throughout today is on time. What did I say, please? So in the morning, I taught on chronological time, how to ensure that you don't waste your chronological time. And for you to do that, you must recognize that time itself is a privilege. Tomorrow is not promised. And so you must use your times and your seasons properly. You know, and I shared with you from the Word of God that there are some evil days that you cannot turn back by prayer, by prophecy, by fasting. You turn back some type of evil days by anticipating them and planning for them. You remember that, don't you? Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. There are some evil days you can't pray away. If the planting season came and you did not sow, when it is time for your harvest, you don't go to the farm and start speaking in tongues. It just doesn't work that way. Praise the Lord. And so this is very important. And I want to move on further into the supernatural concepts of time. I will tell you what the title is, but just not yet. I want to ask and answer the question, how much of time does God control? How much of our time does God control? Because you see, there are some radical views about God's involvement in human experience. Some people go so far as not to believe in what we call free will. They claim they do, but not in practice. And so they believe that everything, especially the most important thing, like salvation, is already predetermined. That before you were born, God already selected those who will be saved. And so what we call a response of faith, I mean, receiving the message of the gospel, had already been predetermined. You know, and they have a lot of seemingly compelling scriptures, you know, in that regard. I have done my best to debunk many of them, especially when we did the 100 days of discipleship. Do you remember? Yes. Amazing. So I think I have teachings on that. You might want to go back and touch on that. So I can't go into real details regarding that. But when you look at stories like the story of Joseph, first and foremost, this young boy dreams. And in the dream, the essential interpretation of the dream is that God was going to make him royalty. And he could see even people of his own household paying tribute to him. And so he knew that he was going to be royalty. How was that going to happen? Well, unfortunately, he went from one series of bad incidences to another. First and foremost, his own blood relatives wanted to kill him. They changed their mind, not because they were really compassionate, but they felt they could eat their cake and have it, get rid of Joseph while still making money off his absence, you know, sell him off to slavery. And he was sold off to slavery, ended up in Potiphar's house, just when some form of compromise and stability was beginning to show up in his life, then Potiphar's wife shows up. So now, you can argue that, at least for the average person, that it's a compromise. You said I was going to be king, but I'm a houseboy. No problem. I'll be faithful here. I will do my best. Serve Pharaoh, which is exactly what he did. But then, problem. In the words of a wise philosopher, problem, no, they finish, right? And then he ends up in prison. But long story short, in retrospect, especially from a Bible reader's standpoint, you can see that everything in his life, including the seemingly unfortunate incidences, were actually taking him an inch closer to the fulfillment of God's plan and prophecy for his life. Is that true? And that's powerful. So then we see the handwriting of God throughout Joseph's life. So what do we have to say about that? What about Jesus? It was phenomenal, the kind of earthly experience that Jesus had in the incarnation. Everything was predetermined. Are you aware that you can literally tell the story of Matthew using Old Testament scriptures? Let me explain what I just said. The book of Matthew tells you that Jesus was born of a virgin. He was taken to the temple to be dedicated. And that he grew up, walked miracles. He was betrayed, sold specifically for how many pieces of silver? 30 pieces of silver. And then he was nailed on a cross. He died. He rose again the third day. Are you aware that every single detail I just mentioned was prophesied in some shape or form in the Old Testament? All right. So I am saying you can retell the Matthew story strictly using Old Testament scriptures. And let me explain what I'm saying. When the wise men from the east, the Igbo guys, I'm just joking, they're not Igbo guys. When the wise men from the east came, they followed the star, you know, but at some point, you know, they decided to go into the temple to ask, I beg your pardon, into the palace to ask, where is he that should be born king of the Jews? Herod was hearing that for the first time. How did Herod guide the wise men? She called for the high priests and said, according to prophecy, where was it foretold that the Messiah will be born? And they said, Bethlehem in Judea, according to Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And so Herod pointed them to Bethlehem. Was Herod right or wrong? Because Jesus indeed was there. It was prophesied in Isaiah 7, he'll be born of a virgin. So all those details were in the Old Testament. I said all of that to say this. When you look at Jesus' life, you see exact and precise details. Even the people who thought they were harming him were playing into a divine, overarching divine prophecy over his life. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I am saying, how much of the events of an average person's daily life is truly an accident? We've studied chronological time and what to do with it, how to be responsible with it. But we know that there is more to life than that. The writer of Ecclesiastes says, I studied and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. Even though chronologically, hard work should bring you plenty. Is that how it always happens? He says, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. He said, in this life, I have discovered it's not always the strongest people who win. Do you agree with him or not? He said, all bread to men of skill. Sometimes you see some people, it looks like they are rich, but they don't know what to do with it. Have you ever imagined that, if I had this money, this is what I would do, this is what I would do, this is what I would do, this is what I would do. You know, but guess what? It's not your money. There's an old joke of an Igbo man telling his friend, Una, I just bought Range Rover. And the guy said, push, man, it's not Range Rover, it is Range Rover. He said, you know the name, I have the car. Ouch. Well done, diction coach. You know, sometimes you see someone driving one nice engine on the road irresponsibly. Guys, you can relate, Abby. Has that thing pained you before? And you're like, one day I jokingly said, God, see who you give moto. Give me this moto. Let me glorify you with vroom vroom. I mean, if the Bible says that the trees of the field clap their hand, why not silencer also? Oh, glory, glory. You know, there are even worship songs like that. Oh man, how many of you don't know the meaning of the song? Well, you know that time, how much it was raining. I did play. Well, May looks like my. You were calling it for Homa, 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 May, Homa, May, Pa, 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 Pa. Hey! Homa, Homa. Look at you. Then you finish singing and climb Okada home. Of our lives does God directly control? Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 27. The apostles were praying and they said something very interesting. Acts chapter 4 from verse 27. It says, for truly against your holy servant, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. So this seems to suggest, and I dare say decisively, that there are many instances in life where people, in exercising their free will, don't know that there is an overarching divine intervention making them do or allowing them do what they are doing, such that in their free will, they are playing to the gallery of God's divine calendar. Do you understand what I just said? So these people thought they hated Jesus. It's pretty simple. We're just jealous of the crowd that he has. And so they plotted, they arrested him, they killed him, and somehow that was all part of the plan in such a way that Joseph can look at his brothers in Genesis chapter 50 verse 20 and say, you meant it for evil. Make no mistake, this does not exonerate the people from the moral flaws that they executed. You were wrong. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So those two can be happening simultaneously. Come on, are you with me? Joseph and Jesus are proof. But could that ideology promote mediocrity? Emphatically, because many times you are going through a tough time and they're like, oh, God has a better purpose in this. Maybe not. Maybe you're just lazy. God God is testing me. No, you are testing yourself. And so the reason I'm talking about this is because you have to have surgical precision in understanding the will of God and being able to navigate in your life's journey. So here is what I want to tell you decisively. Number one, God does not meticulously determine all things. Have you seen people, any small thing is God or is the devil? It's usually the devil. It's usually the devil. Some people hardly take responsibility for the things they don't do right. When I have good grades in school, I got an A. When I have bad grades, they gave me a D or something like that, or an F. They gave me. We have that subconscious tendency, you know, to just shift the buck to something besides ourselves. I preached a message, I think it was 2020. Power, Integrity, and Excellence. Do you remember? When I read from a text that said that God did not lead the children of Israel the way of the Philistines, even if it was near, but he took them through the wilderness, lest they see war, and for fear return back to Egypt. So it means that there are shorter cuts in your destiny that you are not ready for. There are plans that God has for you that you are not ready for. There are some of his divine plans you are suspending by your own lack of preparedness. Are you aware that geographically, the distance between Egypt and the promised land is 30 days on foot? 30 days. 30 days. And it took them how many years? 40. 40. Just because they refuse to grow up. And they might also have been psyching themselves. Don't worry, God's time is the best. No, you are running on your time. Your laziness is elongating, you know, your destiny irresponsibly. That's on you. That's on you. There are prophecies over your life that will not be fulfilled until you get serious. Please, are you listening to me? And that's on you. And just think about it, especially from a mathematical standpoint. There are things that should take me 30 days that can take me 40 years. Now, that should make you scared. So in that sense, you don't see the meticulous determination of God in all things. Man still has free will. God doesn't determine all things, even though God determines many things. Are you with me? I hope you know that's possible, logically at least. So now let's move. And that's why, fundamentally, what we started with this morning is still very important. You have to understand that natural laws apply. You must be hardworking. You know what the Bible says? He says, a man that does not work should not eat. That's God's plan. It is God who created the seed, the system of seed time and harvest. And so a man who is not hardworking should not eat. That's a principle. So there are some people, you look at them, you look at the lack in their life, and you can understand immediately why they are where they are. Immediately. And unfortunately, many people deserve it. They deserve it. Many people deserve it. You know, let me tell you, let me be honest with you. I've prayed once that God should turn a bad grade to a good grade. Oh, yes. It's a long story. But by the time I was praying that prayer, I could already hear from God. I wasn't done praying before he replied to me. Would you like to know what he said? He said, if I do this, I will weaken your ability to face challenges head on and come out victorious. Someone gave a very brilliant illustration, a personal experience. He said his mom had a poultry. And some of the chickens laid eggs. And he saw that one egg was about to be hatched. And he was watching the process in awe. But he saw that the chick was struggling to force its way out. So he decided to help the chick. Broke the shell. And he discovered, after a while, the chick could not walk and the chick died. Because you see, his mom came and explained to him, nature has designed it that as the chick is being born, in forcing its way out of the shell, it strengthens its beak, it strengthens its claw, and those two are required for survival and the ability to eat and stay alive. So by helping it, you killed it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm telling you emphatically, there are some people, if you help them, they will die. They will die. There's a reason why when you want to give a child money, you can have 100,000. Will you give the child 100,000? There was a boy who wanted to help in church. We said, go and call your parents. Go and call your parents. Because in helping, you can kill people. I'm glad God did not help me. Now, I'm telling you, it wasn't easy. Now, first and foremost, that failure was not exactly entirely my fault. Long story. I was a student leader, so I was staying in a different hall from my course mates. So, almost mid-semester, they decided to add a course to our program, number one. Number two, it was a lecturer from another department. Number three, because it was a little bit impromptu, I don't really know, maybe it was a new NUC principal or whatever. Because it was a little impromptu, they now had to fix extra classes so that we can catch up and finish the curriculum before the exams. But I didn't hear of the extra classes because I being a student leader, I had a special room, CVT special room course. So, confidently in the exam, I'd spoken in tongues, you know, read. And then they just came in and said, if you don't have 75% attendance, you can't write. Lo and behold, they mentioned my name. And, you know, at the time, I'd already seen miracles, you know. I was in year two, but cancer had been healed, things like that. I said, God, change it. The truth is, I could have been more responsible. Being in a different hall, I could have followed up with my coursemates to know what is going on. I did not. I can argue that if I was going about, you know, very serious with all those things, maybe I will not be here. Just saying, in case they are looking at me and judging me. So there's that too, but leave it. Oh, na Kairos. Let me tell you something. It's petty, but I like it. You know, but that had been disturbing me. You must have a doctorate degree. This, you know. So when I got the call to ministry and I focused on it headlong. You know, we had to talk through it and everything. Eventually, it left me alone. A few days from now, I've been invited for university for a honorary doctorate degree. So one of the first people I called was my dad. I want to quote Proverbs for him, but I just said, see that a man diligent in his business. See, if I the husband now, see, they don't carry and give me. So all were not on our Kairos. But man, when I went for summer to write that course, you know, people are bad. They couldn't hide the gossip. I was already popular, student leader. As I was walking past, they were whispering, ah, what's he doing here? Someone say, hey, student leaders are here just to supervise. They say, no, he failed it. I almost said, excuse me, I can't hear you. people are mouth. See, have you felt shame like an unction before? It's hard to explain. Has shame covered you like this? Shame don't hug you before. Ha! As we were saying, it's Pastor Aaron. Yay! I went to the hostel, opened the book, read it page one to page last. I read it so much in my mind. In the class, I was now seeing mistakes that the lecturer was making. I don't know the course, Richard. So I was not like, is this how in class normally they make mistakes and we don't even know? I scored everything in the exam. Every. Now, shame motivates me. I started teaching tutorial after that. That's the only course I did tutorial. I taught people. Please, are you with me? And so, God can use bad to produce good in your life. But like I said, does God work on every single thing in such a way that if your ice cream falls on the floor, you say, it's God. Maybe it was poison and I didn't know. You know, I hope you know there are some people who think like that, always think things too far. So it's something you need to understand. And I want to tell you for free that you don't see the meticulous divine determinism of God in all things. You only see it in some things. And what are those things? I'll tell you simply. All things work together for good to those that love God, but it doesn't stop there. To those who are called according to his purpose. Let me say this. Let me use two illustrations to explain this to you. Just imagine you're walking your dog and you have a long leash. The dog has some freedom, doesn't it? Answer me. The dog does have some freedom, but within confines. So God has the ability to have an overarching plan for mankind, especially in salvation, that considers, and like a mathematical permutation, you know, works in spite of your free will, so that at the end, what he has intended will still happen. Say aloud, amen, if you understand. So as free as the dog is, you are still saying, this is the way we're going. This is the way we're going. And as long as you're on the right track, the dog can play however way the dog can play. You know, something happened. I went to visit my nephew. This was years ago. And then, of all things to play, to play with me with, he said, I want us to play chess. And at the time, he was 7, so I was like, okay, I'm no pro, but yeah, I got it. I was already halfway into the game when I lifted my head and looked at the shelf and I saw trophies. And different medals. So I said, I asked his dad, what are these trophies for? He said, it was a chess competition in school. I said, uncle is in trouble today. So after a few moves, He put his hand on his jaw like that and was looking at me. So I tried to move. He said, you can't move. He said, checkmate. I said, I have another idea. Let's play ball. It was personal. I fired shot. I scored my 7-year-old nephew. I removed shirt to celebrate. Go! You know? You should be saying, it is a day wise. But the reason I use that illustration is this. Just imagine you were going to play chess against a grandmaster. Have you seen people that, you know, they call grandmaster? I was watching a clip of a boy. I think that they're called savants, you know, or prodigies, geniuses. So he was playing with another master, but the master was slow. I think the boy was about 9. He was playing with another master, but the master was slow. So when he plays, he will stand up, he'll walk around, look at what other people who are playing are doing. Because he was several steps ahead. So when you are playing with a grandmaster, you have free will. Or you're going to lose. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, God is so powerful that he can allow everybody to play on. And his eventual outcome, his divine intended outcome, will still happen. That's what happened to Joseph. Okay, I said, all your brothers will pay tribute, so they want to kill. Go ahead. Go ahead. It's possible you take a move that a grandmaster did not even see coming. Not God, but the grandmaster, just for an example. This is a faulty example. But he has too much experience. He can adjust. And so the outcome is sure. You are losing. Do you understand this? And this is the very important balance when you're understanding, you know, the sovereignty of God and the free will of man. Let me show you something in Romans chapter 9. Go to Romans chapter 9. This is a much needed balance. Are you learning anything? Yes. This is a much needed balance and a flow of thought from what we discussed in the morning. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Look at verse 15. Everybody read verse 15 loud as you can. 1, 2, go. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. Verse 16. 1, 2, go. So then, it is not of he that wills, nor of he that runs, but of God. So listen, we've learned how not to waste your chronological time. Now we are learning that there is still a divine force, at least not determining everything. Listen, the average person amongst us can, by sheer hard work, do well in life. Are you aware? Let me tell you something a lot of the church does not know. Oh my God. Please, I want you to see the flow of thought between what I shared this morning and what we're sharing now. Both are important. The reason we are sharing this is this. Let me tell you something. Even if this life is full of ups and downs, if you understand the balance of these principles, I believe you can always be victorious. I believe it with all my heart. And so, you must understand the interplay between what we call the Kairos intervention of God and just sheer hard work by understanding of chronological time. Listen, I'll give you the example. You see, something that we have not understood in the church, I don't know where we got it from, but there has been this idea that, yeah, Jacob took Esau's blessing, and so when Esau came, because Isaac didn't have any blessing anymore, he instead cursed Esau. How many of you were taught that? Raise your hand. I hope you know by now that that's not true. So, this is what Isaac said. In saying all the negative things to Esau, he was just reiterating what he had already said to Jacob, and then he was putting a caveat and saying, you know what, yeah, this is going to happen. You'll be given to servitude and all of that, but you're going to come out of it. And think about it. Now, you don't have the blessing. Your brother has been furnished prophetically with corn and with wine, with prosperity and all of that. But you, by sheer hard work, think about it. When he eventually found Jacob, he looked like he could match everything that Jacob had. said, I have my own family, a large family. I have my own cattle. Jacob wanted to give him money, give him goods. He said, I don't need that. And this is the thing that a lot of Christians don't understand. You are praying so hard, but some people, by sheer hard work, sheer determination, are outworking you and are getting more from life than you are. So, on one hand, you must not be found wanting in the management of chronological time, but at the same time, you shouldn't despise supernatural intervention. There is such a thing as Kairos. There are people whose lives God has placed his hand on, and it just seems like effortlessly, lines are falling onto them in pleasant places. So there is a way to understand this and to plug into it. See, if your life is full of that balance, how great you will be. I am so engraced. I'm telling you the truth. I'm so, my life, there are some stories I can't share. But yet, I work by far harder than the average person. I do. I have Kairos testimonies every week. You know, something happened yesterday. The mother of one of the members of our church came to our church in Ikeja. And after the service, she came to say hello, you know, with her daughter. I greeted her. We took pictures together. I was meeting her for the first time, you know. Lo and behold, we were going to be on the same flight to Abuja when I was coming here. But I didn't know she was on it, and she didn't know I was on it. So something interesting happened. So now she's on the flight, and I don't know, and she doesn't know. But then, mid-air, one man got up to pick something from his luggage, which he had kept up, you know. And when he got up, I looked, and I saw the person who was sitting in front of me, Bishop Abioye. And I went, oh. You know, he didn't see me, and he didn't even know that I was, you know, so I was just like, I see him in front. So I had already said to myself, as soon as this plane comes down, I'm going to greet him, you know, and everything. But when he sat down, obviously, when he stood up, everyone in the plane saw, he's on the same flight. When he sat down, some woman just walked to him, knelt beside him, and began to talk to him because the seat was empty. And began to talk to him and was introducing herself. Oh, yeah, I served in your church when you were in Kaduna and this, that. So he was like, how are you? So where are you now? How are your kids? And she said, oh, my kids, they are fine. They attend Celebration Church. Now, I was seated right behind. And I was hearing everything. Right behind Celebration Church. And I said, oh, what church is that? Pastor Iren. He attended Covenant University. He was trying to describe. And was like, I'm not really sure. You said his name is what? Who is that? And I said, it's me, sir. So, both of them turned back. I was like, So the woman saw me and screamed. It was the woman I met that morning. So she saw me and shouted, you know. See, let me tell you something. That's my life everywhere. I'm telling you. The Kairos strong. The Kairos strong. The kind of divine coincidences. Divine, you know, they happen in such casual but profound ways. So she had already done the introduction. This is me. I was thinking, if I can catch a few moments when the plane lands, someone has done an introduction. So as soon as she was done, he just tapped the seat. Come and sit here. And throughout, there was a word from the Lord. It was, oh my God. This is someone that has years of experience. The counsel, I typed like this, full notes. He said, do this way, do this way, do this way. I'll answer a question. You will answer it cheaply. If I wanted counseling session, I may have gotten, I may not have gotten. But see the way God orchestrated it. Specific words. I said, God. Why am I telling you this? Years ago, I said, God is not fair. I've been studying this Bible. I know prayer works. But it seems like some people, before they even say, eh. I studied about Abraham. Abraham was a strange man. From one prophetic coincidence to another, I said, God, this life is not really balanced. I know people are teaching surface principles in church, and I don't blame them for that because prayer really works. But there is more to this thing. Think about it. See, Abraham lied, said Sarah is nothing but his sister. Now, a pagan king took her to his room. Then God appeared and said, you are dead. God said, this man must pray for you because you are already sick. There are some people that pray for divine protection. Then there are others. Just touch them. Just touch them. Just touch them. You know, some time ago, I learned something by experience. I said, God, I don't even want to hold people in my heart in contempt. Don't worry if you don't understand what I'm saying. Because I don't want to give angels any idea. I know what I am saying. And so, there is a dimension of grace where God himself admits to you, it is not of he that wills. The same person that said, times and seasons, are you with me? The same person that encourages you to walk, to sow, to reap, to do all those things, is telling you that there is a higher principle. It is not of he that wills, nor of he that runs, but of God who shows mercy. There is something called election of grace. You must understand it. And guess what? I'm not saying this because I'm a pastor. We all have it in our different ways. There are some of you, oh my God. You know, one day, one of the best singers I know, I asked him, so how regularly do you do voice training? He said, Pastor, let me not lie to you. I was born like that. I said, what? I said, God is not fair. You know the funny thing? You know, I said, well, me too, I'm coveting your songwriting. It's not fair. I said, God, it's very fair. God don't share them. There was a time I was doing the voice training. It's like my voice got worse. I know they will say I'm doing it wrong. Meanwhile, there are some people who will just stand like this. Once they hold the mic. Oh, you very happy. You know, so listen. Why I'm saying this is this. There are so many angles to this. Number one, it will help us and protect us from competition. Are you with me? But then there is another angle to this. I want to explain it to you. Is God partial? Never. God is never partial. I have discovered that when God invests in any one person and gives the person extraordinary resources, it is always for the benefit of everyone else. So God, in showing special favor to one person, is showing special favor to everyone, but they don't know it. I have given this illustration so many times, but I want to do it again in case any one of you missed it. I have the suspicion, and I'm putting it mildly, I'm calling it a suspicion because anything the Bible doesn't say definitively, I don't want to say definitively. I can make a sound argument that God loved the brothers of Joseph more than Joseph. Both of you, come here, please, quickly. Both of you, just come. Climb the stage. Follow this closely. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
All right. Wait, oh. When our pastor don't preach this thing, I mean. Pastor Mike, you preached this thing recently. No, that's fine. That's fine. Don't worry. Anyway, listen to this. Pay attention. Now, who would you rather be? You can either choose to be Joseph. Everybody is envious of Joseph. They see Joseph. Joseph had a dream. Are we really going to bow down to this boy? What kind of dream is that? He saw 12 stars, you know, and then the sun and the moon bowing down to him. Now they are envious and they are angry. But then Joseph gets sold to slavery at the age of about 16. Are you with me? Now, all the time he spends in slavery, in Potiphar's house, and in prison, altogether, it was about a decade, 10 years. Imagine going through all of that, but the brothers are at home in their father's house enjoying, because Jacob is a rich man. By the time Jacob's wealth begins to deplete because of famine, they go to the only nation in the world where there is food, and their estranged brother is prime minister, and the estranged brother, God has already dealt on his heart to forgive. So now I'm asking you, who would you rather be? Would you rather be? Do you know what it means? Listen, when Joseph was sold to slavery, he was put on a platform like this. They stripped him naked in the market. They were pricing. Going. 100 now, 100 now, 100 now. 200, going. 500, going. 1K. Potiphar bought him like a commodity, the way you buy a chair. They bought him like a commodity. And he was there, faithful. He didn't complain against God. He didn't grumble. Yes! He was wrongly accused. Has someone lied against you before? That is enough to finish some people. But then, he goes into prison. He's still happy. He's still serving faithfully. You know, then his prime minister, quite all right. After such a long time of suffering, his brothers did not suffer one day in their whole life. The moment the father's resources were depleting, he went to the only place where there is food. They met Joseph. Then Joseph was saying, don't worry, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good. Do you understand? Now, listen. They would have killed Joseph, not knowing that God was sending Joseph ahead so that all of them can be preserved. Are you getting this? This is very important. Let me tell you the ultimate proof. One of the proofs of the divine favor of God, especially in context of what we're reading in Romans chapter 9, is the lineage through which Christ was born. And with all the wonderful things that happened to Joseph, you would have thought that Christ came through the lineage of Joseph, but he did not. He was born through Judah. That means Joseph was just the messenger to preserve the divine plan. That's what he looked like. He was the spotlight of heaven was on him. But he was not the one. Come on, are you getting it? God bless you. Please return. See, never forget that. See, I first and foremost want to explain. Anyone you see experiencing this kind of supernatural grace is a servant. And if you're experiencing supernatural grace, accept it's not from God. Understand it. All the privileges are for service. Anybody that is experiencing extraordinary favor from God and is proud is deluded. And in fact, you will just disqualify yourself. There is a sense of accountability that greatness in the kingdom gives. You understand that greatness is reckoned in service. Amen, somebody. Amen. Let me give you another example. Sometimes you are reading about... Oh, my God. Are you ready for this? I'm thinking whether to give you two examples or one. Time is far spent, and I want to finish this in a few minutes. There are two people, two categories of people whose lives God intervenes in dramatic fashion. Paul calls it this way. There are vessels of honor and there are vessels unto dishonor. Follow this closely so you don't misunderstand. The same way God chooses some people to make his glory known in them, he chooses some people as an example of his judgment and his severity. And let me tell you how it works. There is something called hardness of heart. You know what that is, right? When God has tried to entreat you with his word and has seen that you are unpersuadable, instead of just judging you like that, he will make you an example so that at least others who will be tempted to be hardened will be saved. That is what happened to Pharaoh. It was not personal. If you study the story of Pharaoh, you will discover that before Moses even stepped into the palace, God told Moses, I know that Pharaoh will not let you go except with a strong hand. I know him. He's a stubborn person. Haven't you seen people that you cannot talk to? They must fight about everything. God, answer me now. You have met at least one person in your lifetime. And Pharaoh was like that. God didn't make him like that. He was like that. And so Romans 9, the prophecy of Pharaoh, he says, for this purpose have I raised you up, to show my power in you. Meaning, if I cannot save you, I will make you an example for others. And let me tell you a story you probably don't understand. Jonah went to Nineveh and preached only once. God said, if you don't repent, you will be judged. And everybody repented. Have you heard of that kind of thing before? That was incredible evangelism. Imagine an evangelist having 100% conversion in a whole country. How did it happen? Guess what? Jonah did not show any miracle. Not one. Unlike Pharaoh, they didn't ask him for any sign. The moment he preached, they believed. Isn't that strange? Now, let me tell you why. Just imagine you are in Nineveh. You hear what happened in Egypt. That a Hebrew prophet came and said, God said, let my people go. And Pharaoh did not answer. You hear everything. Then one day, another Hebrew prophet comes. The king of Nineveh said, everybody must fast. Even animals. If I see food in your mouth, So God had used Pharaoh to save several other kings. Do you understand what I'm saying? God used Pharaoh. So you see that at work. Every time God shows special favor to some people, it is for you. It is for you. It is for people around them. Let me tell you the principle, and I've said this many times. Never forget this. There is a way God blesses, but the church doesn't understand this. Everyone is crying out to God personally, God bless me, God bless me, God bless me. But this is how God blesses. When God blesses, he has ordained for the blessing to be self-sufficient. Are you with me? And so when he created a garden in Eden, he made sure that every tree had the capacity to produce after his kind. Isn't that true? Oh my God. Meaning on account of one blessing, there will be several others. That's how God functions. So sometimes God blesses some people directly and he blesses others by proximity to the people he has already blessed. He told Abraham, I will bless you and in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. It's the same thing in Christ. One person had to do it, and we all just believe and receive. Please understand what I'm saying. Because what I'm telling you is this. One of the surest ways to be blessed in this life is to learn what Abraham had. There was a divine skill Abraham had. Abraham knew how to look at people and know that this is not an ordinary human being. Are you getting what I'm saying? Abraham had that gift once, twice, three times with Melchizedek. He knew this is an extraordinary person. And by proximity to this person, a blessing can come on me. That is something this generation doesn't understand. We are used to pioneering, not knowing that there are many things that God will do in our lives by partnership. I am telling you, there are some blessings that are for you, but through your friends. In our ego and arrogance, we want it direct. And it doesn't happen always that way. Can I surprise you? Not everybody will be Abraham. Any pastor who has not told you this, either doesn't know it or is hiding it from you. Listen, the Bible tells you clearly, it is not of he that wills, nor of he that runs, but of God that shows mercy. Let me tell you this. I cannot guarantee anybody that if you preach like me and dress like me and talk like me, you will have Celebration Church. It just doesn't work that way. The permutation of heaven is too specific and tailor-made. Are you getting what I'm saying? So one of the smartest things you can do is to learn the wisdom of Lot before he messed up anyway. Learn the wisdom of Lot. When God calls Abraham, follow him. And I'm not talking about just ministry. There are some people around you. You can already tell. You know the funny thing is, we have more discernment than we give ourselves credit for. Your friends that are not ordinary, you know them. You know, you may form guy, alpha guy, but you know the hand of God is on his life. You might be trying to pretend and to commonize it. You know this guy is extraordinary. He's doing something incredible. See, and the problem with this generation is this. Something that is emerging in your very house, in front of your eyes, you'll be despising it. When the person now becomes big and is on TV, you'll be saying, I know him now. He grew up in Ojo-Elegba. He's my friend. He used to wear boxers then. Yeah, well done. Both of us used to wear boxers anyway. But now, he's no more wearing. You are still wearing. I'm telling you, Listen. Oh my God. I don't want to give you stories, but you see, one of the wisest things you can do is to understand this principle. Behind every blessing, there is a ripple effect. Come on, are you with me? When you see a tree blossoming, that tree would have fruits. In that fruit are seeds. In those seeds is the capacity to reproduce other trees after his kind. When God blesses someone, oh my God, I am telling you that God's blessings have the capacity to replicate themselves. Please, are you listening to this? What I'm hoping I'm sharing with you is practical enough for you to observe and to do. Open your Bibles, Genesis chapter 30. This is the kind of wisdom I want you to be functioning with. And unfortunately, some people in the world have this wisdom better than others, better than even the saints. Are you in Genesis chapter 30, verse 27? All right, look at the screen. Everybody, now this is Laban, a pagan. This is what Laban said. Everybody read together, 1, 2, go. And Laban said to him, please stay, for I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me. That the Lord has blessed me for your... See, there are some people by proximity. Just because you are in their space, you are blessed. Are you listening? It is true that the children of this world are in some sense wiser than the children of light. Because if it is a Christian, he'll be beefing you. You'll be trying to commonize what God is doing in your life. Trying to explain it away. Trying to give rationales for why it is not so phenomenal. Do you understand this? So, let me say this. I can guarantee, if you are above the age of 25, you would at least in your lifetime have seen 10 extraordinarily graced people in your life. And by sensitivity, your life can change. Some of them have asked you out in the past. You say, well, it's too short. It's too this. Stray bullet don't hit you like this. Bah. You can't know this one. You can't dodge it. It has hit you. Collect it. Because sometimes we just can't follow the promptings of the Spirit. The world has given us a lens, a false lens. The best time to be close to great people is in their formative years. Yes, not that you were despising them, you didn't know they existed. Now, God has promoted them. You're not saying all these people, they will just get big and forget you. For who you? They don't know you. They don't know you. Please, do you understand this? So, what if you developed a type of honor and discernment where you see Melchizedek? You know, there are some people, you say, we're age mates now. I personally don't know how to call a pastor by name. And I'm not asking you, even if the person is 15, 14, that if you say you are a pastor, I will call you pastor. Simple. And I'm not just talking about men of God. There are some people around you. Please be discerning. Please learn to treat people well. Learn to treat people well. And let me say this. Instead of competing with people, oh my God, when you understand this, let me explain what I was saying in practical terms. It is impossible for you to be a multi-billionaire without many other people being at least millionaires on your account. Are you aware? If you own a mega factory, the person that is selling your fuel will be rich. If you own the biggest bakery, the person you are buying flour from will be rich on your account. So, I want to give you practical advice. All these people you are beefing, instead, start thinking. I know by divine principle that every blessing has the capacity to produce after its kind. So, what are the trails here? What are the opportunities for partnership and collaboration? I am not... See, let me tell you something. When Lot hears God called Abraham, what are you doing? Are you aware there are probably some people around you, what they are doing, you should resign what they are doing immediately and join them. Don't worry. Think of what it means to be Lot. God called you. Where? Abraham said, I don't know. Okay, don't worry. Let's go to where we don't know. Did not know. See, it is foolish enough for someone to be going where he does not know. For you to follow someone that is going where he does not know, is a different thing. Until Abraham became so blessed and Lot became so blessed. No space to keep cattle. There was now conflict. Then Lot made a mistake. You know, that also happens. You forget. Laban never forgot. Laban was shrewd about it. He told this guy, you won't go. He said, I have learned by experience. God has blessed me because of you. Laban was open to negotiation. He stays small now. Are you with me? But Lot was like, after a while, he got comfortable. You are blessed, I'm blessed. You're anointed, I'm anointed. And then he went into Sodom. He judged from his senses. Sodom was full of green. It looked like a productive place, a smart business move. And then as soon as Lot left, God told Abraham, lift up your eyes, northward, southward, eastward, westward. He said, as far as your eyes can see, even to Sodom and beyond, I will give you. Don't joke with the blessing, no. God told Lot and his family, leave this Sodom, don't look back. As they were going, are you aware? Abraham was there looking at the Sodom like this. Nothing happened to him. He was looking at it. Nothing happened to him. And then Lot came out without any property. Because a time will come, if you're not careful, you think it's your acumen that brought you that far. Can I talk freely? Oh, I already talked about musicians in the morning, so let me not talk again. Let me say this. It's a mistake we make in this part of the world way too many times. When you just get too comfortable, you know, and I know that there are a lot of people who are wicked. They are wicked production managers, you know, and label bosses. Wicked. I've read wicked contracts in this life. Yes. But then there is a culture we have. I can say this for free. From my experience, the average Nigerian does not respect contracts. It is true. Once they hit small spotlight like this, you become disgruntled. You know, I listened to one TED Talk. I'm not really one to recommend things like this, especially on church platform, but I want to do this. If you are a creative, please watch it. By M.I. Abaga. Now, this is just a practical, has nothing to do with the gospel. And he was comparing the music industry in Nigeria, pari passu, the music industry in America. So now, there are people who are billionaires in dollars in America that are still under a label. Do you know that? They are still under a label. I mean, the three biggest names that you can think of, I don't want to promote them on this platform, they are under a label. But when a small Nigerian touches small success, just give him wooden plaque. If you don't want me to talk, I can drop the mic and go. You know, so see, listen. And sometimes, all I'm saying is just be led. If you don't have the grace to pioneer, you don't. What I am saying, you can check history. I can't tell you names, but there are some people who made that mistake because they were at the top. The moment they left like this, phew. That was the end. Please, are you with me? So, what have you learned by experience? Laban said, this is a man who does not have the spirit upon him. Just by observation. He said, it is because of this man's fortune. This man's grace that God is blessing me. Can I tell you something? And it doesn't mean men are God, but there are some people, if you leave them, you will go through many hardships in life. I'm telling you the truth. And I hope you won't learn it by personal experience. There are some people, if you quarrel, go and beg. And learn what I'm telling you ahead of time. Are you getting this? Have you learned anything? Because Like I said, there are some people who just have it in an extraordinary way. Oh my God. I can tell you stories upon stories. Some people, they are, there are some people that when they say, oh, I'm sorry, I don't have change. Take what they are giving you. If not, see, grace is grace. Grace is grace. Why sweat and walk and use 50 years for what proximity to grace can do in 3 years? So learn to be a partner. What I'm telling you is a business principle. It's called venture capitalism. See, find ideas to pour into. There are some people, maybe you even have the money. You have found one genius. You know this guy, the way he's going with this thing. Just out of curiosity, find out, do your research, find out about it. If it's a business that you think is heading somewhere, invest on time. Have you heard the story about the person who designed the Apple logo? Let me tell you the story in case you've not heard it. They asked him a question. Will you design this logo and we will pay you? I think it was $40 or so. Yes. Will you design this logo and we'll pay you $40 or we will give you shares? Say, give me my money. True life story. True life story. Let me tell you something. See, let me tell you something. You know, some of you say, you are making the same mistake now. Because it is already obvious now that he made a mistake. It was not obvious then. Let me show you how some people make that mistake. It is true. You know, some of you, you have slick tweets. Learn to pay money. Some people will be saying, they want to pay you in kind. What kind of thing is that? Yeah. And you have a point. You have a point, but please learn this. Life is not all about money. Life is not all about money. Life is not all about money. I know someone, and the reason it hurt me is because it happened in this church. This was about 10 years ago. No, 8 years ago. There was a guy who was struggling with fees. A member of church paid for his fees. And then the same member of church needed someone to do something in his office that required his expertise. And he came and said, how much will you pay me? How much will you? Guess what? The money was not even the problem, but the attitude. The attitude. Let me say something. I'm saying this for the first time. My God, now if I say this, it will cast, but no problem. You know, when I was working on my albums and all of that, or when we're doing church stuff, there's a particular instrumentalist, I won't mention who, in Lagos. Any small riaza, where's my money? How much are they giving me? If we don't pay him ahead, he will not come. And so, a few months ago, all the people who had been helping selflessly were there. They did the rehearsal, you know, and I gave each of them 300,000 naira each, and I gave the guys 20K. If, yes, fair. If he's watching this, this is the first time he will hear it. Am I wrong? He said he wants his 20. I forgive him. Listen, and some people who act like that, you can't exactly blame them. They've worked for wicked people before. But I beg you, try the discernment. Try the descent. When you are working with someone who is graced, I'll never forget. You know when I said, God, help me to be a blessing to my people? When we're working on the Kerygma album, we used Pastor Nathan Obasi's instrumentalist then. And all of them came in their cars. I watched, obviously. I watched quietly. I said, God, I want my team to be like this. I want my team to be like this. Quietly. Because so I'm now like, that's a good man. You know, the first time I saw Pastor Nat physically, I don't know, I'm mentioning him physically, openly now. As I saw him, I saw a vision and I saw something very strange. I saw bags of money that had left him, just tied to him. And I heard a voice clearly, behold, a man of sacrifice. At the time, I had not heard of how generous he was. But that is, so there are some people, their sacrifice is an alarm in the realm of the spirits. It's an alarm. Then maybe you get the opportunity to work with someone like that and you are making it all about money. Please, are you getting this? Don't forget how we started in the morning. I said I am talking about these things because I have discovered that some Christians, no matter how they pray, no be swear, they can never, if they don't change. These are some of the issues. These are when wealthy Abraham sees some men. He knows these are extraordinary men. He runs to them as rich as he is. He said, just come to my house. Let me sell food for you. Let me do this for you. A heart of service. Develop that. Please, are you getting what I'm saying? When you do this, a lot of people will take you for a ride, though. Make no mistake. And that's why it is important to do it from your heart. Do it as a believer in Christ, as someone who loves. But then in the future, you will look back and you will see at least 10 people who are mighty in this world and you have helped in the past. You've had the privilege to help. And even when the normal seasons of life, like I described in the morning, has happened to you, maybe your wealth, God forbid, has developed wings to fly away, they will gather you back. What I'm saying, I have seen it too many times. They will restore you easily. You know, there's someone who was going through a financial challenge. He didn't tell me. When I heard, I fought it. I'm telling you. I said, how can you be going through this and I don't know? Because I'm eager to help. Eager to help. As soon as he said, okay, I'm open, I sent him a lot of money. I said, return when you are ready. Hallelujah. Come on, I said hallelujah. All right. So, in conclusion, all I am saying is this. God has created a system in the body of Christ where the strong should help the weak. Come on, are you with me? So, the reason why a lot of people are still praying, God bless me, in the church, and it looks like nothing is happening, is because the people who have received the answers have a responsibility to those around. That's the way God does it. God will not answer everybody directly. By the way, he doesn't give you an entitlement to other people's resources. So it is up to their discretion to recognize it from teachings like this. Find someone to help. That's God's method. You know, are you aware that God will forgive the churches in Abuja and in Lagos and in Port Harcourt? So many things I don't want to say. Because the churches in the north, we're going through a lot. We just close our eyes. We're doing our own, building bigger cathedrals. You hear that they burnt a church. All you will do is pray and release angels. Because we don't understand. You see, when Agabus signified prophetically that there was going to be a drought, you know what they did? They sent relief. They didn't send prayers. They sent, Prayers are important, make no mistake, but they send relief, financial help. One thing that the church in the South, in the West, in the East must do to the churches in the North, strengthen them financially. Help. Find one that is teaching the faithful word of God and support. Make this your life generally. I am telling you, I am teaching you some of the biggest secrets of my life. That's what I'm teaching you today. Please, have you learned anything? So you must trust God for such a prophetic precision to be able to spot people through the eyes of Abraham. You know, the Bible says that be sure to be kind to strangers because people in so doing have encountered angels. They are human angels, I'm telling you. I hope you excuse that theology. Someone that can just look at you, believe in you, and invest in your dream. Is that not an angel? Even business world calls it angel investor. They play. Is that not an angel? And you encounter some people like that by just being kind, all right? So you must trust God for the ability to discern people like that. And when you see someone with the blessing of God, go all in. Go all in. Go all in. Not because the person is sitting beside you. It's looking at them anyhow. It might be your biological brother, your biological sister. Don't despise anybody. Please, are you listening to me? You learn to just generally learn to honor and celebrate grace and be supportive of people in general as much as you can. If you don't have money, use words. Say, I think you are doing well. Well done. I just wanted to send this text to encourage you. Please, are you getting that? Because no matter how you pray, do you know that logically, the average person will not break into the 1% richest percentile, no matter how you pray? I'm talking statistically now. I hope that doesn't offend you. But some are easily satisfied. You will buy a car, you know. That's not what I'm talking about. There are dimensions of wealth. You know, I remember when I was checking Forbes lists, I saw three people from the same family. Have you seen something like that before? You think it's hard work? It affects me when people like that, they do motivation. I think there was a particular family, father and three children. Then you want to be, tell us how you did. You have no story, but no problem. Now, grace, and we respect grace. Grace is enough. Grace is enough story, Abby. Learn to recognize things like that. Be a part of it. Let me say this. A lot of great people are looking for people who can share their burdens. It's a secret a lot of people don't know. Trustworthy people that you can say, you know, I don't want to mention names. One of the richest men in Africa, I hear that there is someone who can sign all his checks in his company. And the person is not a blood relative. What I'm telling you, facts. There are people, they will sign it like this on his behalf. The Bible calls it a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I'm telling you, there are people in this world I can give all my resources. I know if I come 2 years, it will be intact. Help me keep. They will even add to it. Be that type of person. Before you keep praying for favor, be dependable. Be a burden sharer. And do it from your heart. Have you learned anything? I know it's simple. Did it bless you? All right, please rise to your feet. What did God say this deeper will be remembered as? Hallelujah. So by chronological time and the investment thereof and the ability to recognize people with the hand of God on their lives, you will never be the same again. Say loud amen. Better to be number two in God's plan than number one on your in your own. Papa Hagin said that. Better to be number two in God's plan. Everybody want to be self-employed. You write it on your bio. CEO. Then when is your birthday? You will post picture on your business page. Then you will now come in your profile and come and say, oh, you are deceiving yourself. You are deceiving yourself. Hallelujah. Don't do that to yourself. Amen, somebody. Thank you, Jesus. My God. My God. This evening, I'm going to teach on negative kairos. There's something. Now, that's the real word I have, and you have to be ready. Because there is a negative kairos. The same way there is a kairos from heaven, there are satanic programmings where people, they are moved by error. Error upon error until destruction. It's like a prophecy. I want to teach you how to spot it. The Bible says, the righteous man sees evil afar off and hides himself. Hides himself. There are patterns to watch out for. Patterns to watch out. So I want you to come ready. Then I'll pray for the sick. Pray for, you see, what God wants to do with this deeper is to raise many great men in your spheres of influence. And that's what he wants to do with wisdom and with the supernatural. That's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to do. And I want to tell you honestly, I believe it's something I have the grace for. I have a track record. And guess what? Even people outside have started noticing it. You know, I was at the gym and someone cornered me. Said, sorry, sir, just to take a few minutes of your time. He knelt down. He said, I have discovered that everyone around you is doing well. I want you to pray for me. You have a grace for that. There is a grace to raise giants from Adullam. Discomfited men, men who are in debt, who people gave up on, but in contact, there is a supernatural grace and wisdom. Hallelujah. If it is true that God can make people great, he will prove it with your life. Ah, that amen was too weak. Let me try one more time. If it is true that God can make people great, he will prove it with your life. Let me say it again. If it is true that God can make people great, he will use your life to end all arguments in that regard. Do you know what it means? For the magicians of Egypt to be checking and then they say, ah, this is the finger of God. A magician said it. Say, ah, this one is God. This one passes. That's your testimony from today. In Jesus' mighty name, we've prayed. So we're going to do two things very quickly. I want you to just take a few seconds, pray for tonight and say, Holy Spirit, I'm ready for all that you have for me. Can you do that from your heart? Do that from your heart. 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 Do that from your heart.
Do that from your heart. Do that from your heart. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' matchless name, we have prayed. Say loud, amen.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For inquiries, reach us on our helpline 0809 996 7000. Blessings.